Hey patrons, how's it going? This is not a video by myself. Scott's walking over here, and he's going to put on that mic. And we're going to talk all about the technical aspects and kind of the behind the scenes a little bit of the Court of Swords show, which had its, every show, every set has its different issues, and that's kind of what we'll talk to Scoots about. I think the biggest one coming into this, and you can tell me if there was an issue at the actual set, but time was kind of against us this entire week, with TwitchCon and kind of just coming straight off of that to here. I feel like that was a little bit different than any time before.
Yeah, it definitely, as you mentioned in Aaron's video, it was crunch for both of us. I mean, obviously she was working TwitchCon, I was attending as a guest, so.
Right.
She was probably far more tireder than I was, but I was certainly tired for a different reason, you know, hanging out late, partying, all those things. But yeah, so I cut off. I normally come in on a Monday. The gear normally comes in on that Monday as well and beats me here, so I start setting up Monday afternoon, evening. And today, that whole process, or this time, that whole process started on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, technically two less days or day and, yeah, about 2 days between my travel on Wednesday, you know, between Monday, Tuesday, and then Wednesday. Yeah, about two full days of, like, not being able to do anything, but the last show we did, you know, every show we load in is roughly all the same gear, right? So that's, the whole process has gotten easier for me from where I put the cameras. Obviously, the lights and the set don't really change much in my world in the sense of, like, effort and time. That's all Aaron with me just, like, pointing out ideas and suggestions, you know, but she bears the burden of that. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I've gotten really good at where the cameras go, how to quickly wire them, you know. So when you told me it was back-to-back to TwitchCon, I kind of did in my head, okay, well, you know, can I do that in two less days? And it was fine. It was definitely a little bit more stressful than usual because usually by that Thursday or Friday, show before, by Thursday or Friday, I was like, oh, this is going great. Oh,
right.
Yeah, let's go to dinner. Let's watch some TV. This one, more back to some of those older ones. We're a little busier every day and every night. What also helped is that I brought my TriCaster this
time. I think if we didn't have that, this wouldn't have been possible.
It would have been, I mean, it would have been even later nights for me, right? It would have been a lot more stress. And having my own TriCaster, the TriCaster runs all the audio video production. It is the main switch, right? We used to rent it. So it would show up with that gear on a Monday as well. And then it's a rental TriCaster. So it gets wiped by the rental company every single time. So the last show I put in there is not there anymore, right? So I can't even look at that for reference. So I would write notes. Okay, what did I do to the audio? Where did I put the graphics?
So
a notebook of all this stuff. So when I got that TriCaster and I got the graphics and I got his music and all that stuff, I'd know where to put it again instead of having to kind of reinvent the show in my mind. At least I knew logistically how to run the show, but I still had to take about a day to program that TriCaster, right? And now, like, I was able to get the first wave of the graphics in advance, so I kind of keep at least look at it. His character died, so that changed some stuff between, you know, when I first got the graphics and when I got here. But I basically built the show at home, like, okay, this will be, you know, program the switches, programmed what I named all the inputs, because I knew all that in advance. I knew, and I figured out in my mind, you know, what DSK would run, what graphics for what animation, and had that all pre-laid out, all pre-programmed in my TriCaster, which, again, would normally take me about a day here on that rental. And so now, and as I said to you even the other night, now going forward, when I bring the TriCaster again, this show is in it.
Yeah.
So then all I'm doing is changing the actual graphics, tweaking some stuff, but, like, camera one will stay, like, it's a separate session, right? Like, even OBS, you have sessions, right? You can save profiles. So that bad boy will just sit in my TriCaster. I don't have to redo it ever again, other than, again, recycling the actual content. So that'll help a lot. So, again, coming in on a Wednesday and doing it with this exact same time frame is way more feasible now, right?
Totally, yeah. I think that's probably what we were talking about. That's probably what we'll do moving forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it makes perfect sense now. We can't save any money on the rental because it's still like a week rental of gear. So, you know, we try to knock a few days off that, but it doesn't really change because the show days are the same.
Yeah.
So we can't save any money there, but the simple fact that we're not renting that TriCaster anymore allows you to, you know, spend that Patreon money on better sets, on other stuff, right?
Yeah.
Or cosplay or whatever you want to use it for.
Yep.
So, yeah, those were the challenges. It felt a little bit more like one of the first ones, but then once we kind of got rolling, it felt, again, like I think I say it every time. Again, I think this was one of the smoothest ones ever again. You know, every time it just gets a little better. I find out little better camera angles. Like one thing I really liked last time that I did, but I did it on the fly, was that three shot of of Adam and the two people he's gen to talk, because he kind of talks to sides, right? Or right. someone at a side. And the first couple shows, if you look at it, like I spend a lot of time on the two shots, but then Adam does the most of the talking, so he's out of a lot of those shots. And I started kind of feeling bad. I'm like, he's a storyteller, but like I'm on the two guys sitting here listening, right? And so then last show, I kind of pulled one of these cameras out. I'm like, oh, I can get Adam in that. But then I noticed that like if anyone leaned in on the other angle, they would interfere with that. So this time I moved these two cameras a little bit more this way. So the angle's still good getting the two shot. Like this camera goes to here, right? But then if Ken were to lean in, he had to really lean in to block this shot. And I just think that's a really nice shot because, you know, you guys are looking up at him and he's very intently, like, giving you this exposition. It was also – and then I even went one step further during the show and I'm like, wait a minute. If I take that camera while I'm showing that camera, I can zoom in on Adam's face talking to you and that's a good lower third for Adam because he's, like, you know – because generally he's way the fuck back here, right? So I can give Adam a little bit more, like – facial love, right, or a little up close and personal, because he's the farthest guy away.
Totally.
And again, that's just a matter of, you know, once you get all the stress out of it, and you can start being creative again, like, oh, okay, can I tweak this? Can I tweak that? You know, and there's still a lot of things we want to do with the lights.
I think that's, I was going to mention that when I was talking with Aaron, but saved it for you. I think that's kind of the next purchase. It's going to be something light. Based.
Yeah, because again, you know, we're using your lights, which are great, nice little LED panels.
But not necessarily for this.
Yeah. We need one, maybe, or even all three, but the issue is we're hitting this entire set with lights there, there, and there, and then these are just ambiance lights, right? These don't really provide much in the way of, like, proper, like, light for someone's skin. But what I noticed really bad last time, or this time, because we intentionally also darkened the set a little bit this time in the sense of the overall lighting effect because it was a little spookier. And I looked at the old stuff and it was like a little – it was very bright. Like we've been lighting for TV, right? You don't always have to light for TV, but you have to light people properly, right? And the problem with just these three big lights is you can't do both, right?
Yeah.
If I make JP look perfect on camera, I'm going to wash out Aaron's set a little bit, right? So then the next step is to tone these three lights down some so we're getting nice forward light. But – like putting a couple lights up here that are out of the shot, bright enough to not affect behind them, but like to hit that side of your face and that side of Aaron's face because it ends up like very lit and very kind of shadowy.
Yeah.
And again, like you can buy little pinhole spots with barn doors so you can – because also if we could trim these lights so that they only hit our talent, then that would make all the sets look much better, right? Because we're kind of flooding the set with white light and then trying to overcome it with the colored lights, right? So, again, just like in real TV, you'd have a big grid up top and you have all sorts of lights that come down on particular people. You have lights on sets. But, again, we're limited in this living room, if you will, or great room. So, again, things to think about as we move forward. Just stuff like that.
I think for a streamer to think of it like I do, these are kind of just your three-point lights.
That's exactly
light.
What it is, yep.
Granted, they're LEDs, and they're kind of like a higher, I guess, price point of that. It's just 3 points. And I think that, you know, everything else we've done has kind of been for the sake of the set and kind of what we accomplished, and now we're going to be able to start really going in there and like fine-tuning every single little thing, and I think that's probably the next step is the lights.
Yeah, and again, even if it's just a couple, like again, out of the way that hit these two sides, because Adam gets lit great.
Yeah.
All three of these basically hit Adam.
It's the side stuff.
It's these two sides that –
and then with the shadows behind, right here and
exactly,
stuff like that.
And that's just a matter of being able to – if I could pinpoint that on you and then barn door it so it doesn't bleed outside of the zone of people, that just makes all this glow better, right?
Yeah.
And obviously, in a perfect world, if we were in some sort of soundstage or a bigger area, this set might even be farther away from you all, you know, in the sense of like there might be two more feet.
Push back.
So that would also give you a chance for that light to diffuse from here and not screw that up. And like Aaron said in the other video, once she got it all up, we kept looking at all the different stuff and go, how can I angle this light so it still lights the talent, but maybe takes that big old glare that we're getting on the wallpaper. We put diffusers on the two side ones to kind of, again, dull it a little bit so that, again, it just wouldn't – because this shot – before we started diffusing, like, there was glare here, there was glare there, there was glare on these, you know, kind of like you see in some of the side shots that I couldn't get rid of.
Yeah.
And again, it just, I think every time Aaron nails it a little more, like, I really like this one. I want to say Nebly Jazz is still my favorite just because that jazz club aesthetic and the way she did the stained glass windows right here, that blew me away. But to echo, and again, maybe this comes out before her video, but, like, when they first started putting this brick up, it was a fucking clown circus. I was like, oh god, this is gonna take days, yeah. And I don't know how it's gonna look. But then again, Aaron, you know, we went back to the wrap something idea so we can be tight and jam it in. And these are the kind of the temporary solution to what we want to permanently build for her, in the sense of, like, set pieces that are sturdy and hardcore that you can reuse over and over and over. But again, as she always said, like, my job's easy in that sense. Like, my vision has already been set. Like, I know what we're doing. She has to, like, sit at home and figure, like, without really knowing until lights are on and camera's in position, how her shit's going to look.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's, she's always scrambling, like, oh, I bought this. I thought, okay, how do we, you know, and that's half the battle is, like, figuring out that totally. Change, that challenge, right?
She even has less time.
And this time,
yes.
Light it. Yeah. And then bless her heart, like, she worked TwitchCon, and she had a really challenging TwitchCon. So for her to roll in and, like, jump right in and deal with these challenges and the frustration of the plastic paper that we thought was matte that wasn't, again, the work speaks for itself. I mean, this one. And I think we took... The biggest criticism that we had at the last one was, table's great, that's all new gray, great Nebly Jazz set. That big brown spot in the front is terrible, guys.
Yeah.
And they were right. You know, I went back and looked at it, and I'm like, oh, God, that is ugly. Like, what do we put there? How do we fix that? We even talked about it in the post of the last show, and, like, we will fix that.
We had 4 weeks to fix it.
Yeah, and we didn't know really what we were going
to
do.
And again, like I said in the other video, we didn't plan to fix that coming to the set because we just didn't have time.
And I think she had some ideas, like the graveyard kind of idea was like a couple, we were going to do some stuff. She did have in her mind, like, okay, let's throw some, we just want to put some things in front.
Break it up.
Just to break it up a little bit, maybe keep the brown there and everything. And then I saw what they were doing with, you know, the paneling, the plastic stuff, and the fireplace originally was going to be tucked in one of these, and we were looking at it and going, okay, would the fireplace really be up on a shelf? Did that look? And then I'm like, wait a minute, what if we put that there? I grabbed a piece of this shit, and I go, let's see what this looks like in front. I'm like, oh, we're done. That's it. And then she went with the sticks, and, like, she dressed it. But because my first part was, I'm just going to make a brick. At least that'll make it not brown anymore.
Yeah.
And then, you know, she made it look like what that – and that's – now she has set the bar that, like she said in her video, like, the front is now part of a set. So whatever we do,
yeah.
It will be themed. Like, because I think that is badass.
Well, it's kind of a set piece in my
mind.
Now
it's part of the set.
Yeah.
It's no different than anything else you see, right?
Or rather, the centerpiece is what I should say. It's one of the most important parts
Absolutely.
Of the set, without a doubt.
And chat was loving it. I mean, chat was loving the entire set. And I think that if you look at every show, everything gets a little better, right? And that's how it's supposed to be, right? If you ever kind of get too comfortable, then shit starts to get passé. And, you know, it's nice that she keeps setting the bar with stuff. And yeah, and so now, unfortunately for her, she's now got another chunk of square footage she has to worry about every show.
Every show, yeah.
But it's cool, because like you said, it is a centerpiece. It draws you right into the table, doesn't detract at all. Yeah, it turned out really – I was a little afraid that something was going to fall down this show. No, she didn't – as she said in hers, she's got a couple things taped up. One stayed, one fell before, but most of it was – we didn't have things, you know, like hung, like pictures and stuff like Nebly Jazz, so that wasn't going to fall down. I was a little nervous about some of this, like, because –
Yeah, if someone did that,
like that, right? I just did it for you. And Ken's, you know, I mean, they're right here. They could kick that, but Ken and Aaron were both really good about it. I don't think they even touched it.
I still wait for the day when someone swings their foot out straight through.
Like, ah, goddammit! And I never saw anything waver there, so I don't think they even kicked it. But
if anything, we should keep the fabric up, because that'll be a softener to whatever we put in front of it,
so they don't
kick through it.
Well, it's pretty well. The fabric is locked in, so like that stuff's just on top of the fabric. So that would always be our base, so to speak. So, yeah, again, I think it turned out really, really cool overall.
Yeah, I think one of the other things, too, it was a major annoyance, even though we kidded it around and it's become kind of a meme of the shows. On Fridays or even Thursdays sometimes when Adam gets in, the whole clapping thing. And I don't know how we stumbled upon it. I think for whatever reason, we ended up getting you a capture card at home.
Yeah, I
after the last show.
Yeah, I had a really old... Blackmagic mini recorder SDI. First off, SDI capture cards are not really cheap, and they're not really that prevalent because most people, other than professional production companies, no one uses SDI, right? It's not a it's a commercial standard. It's not necessarily a consumer standard, right?
Right.
And TriCaster takes SDI. Everything takes SDI. So I can always I can come out in a different format, but I like to keep everything as pure as possible. So for
that
years,
was like a Gen 1 card.
Yeah, for years I've been using this Blackmagic mini deck recorder. It's about $150. Does SDI, right? And so it's always worked for me, and it's one of those, if it's not broke, don't fix it. But,
totally.
But there's always been some sort of sync delay with it, so I always had to fire up OBS at home and figure out what the sync is. And, usually once you know that number, that's all well and good, but the number can kind of change. So at home, it used to be pretty locked in, but even occasionally last year when I would stream, people were like, Scott, you're out of sync. Right. And I would literally just go change the number by 1%, and it would fix it.
It would, like,
so
over time, it would
it would shift and come back. And so that led to the whole meme of, like, so I brought that card with me every time, right? And it would go into JP's rig. And so Adam would have to do a sync check, right? And he's been a proponent of Mage Wells forever. He always talks about Mage Wells. I've always known they're really high quality, again, production level cards, not necessarily what a home streamer might want to, you know, pay $300-$400 for to put in their rig.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, I have a brand new TriCaster coming. Why don't I look at new SDI cards and see what out there? Does Mage Well make an SDI card? Because it wouldn't affect the quality. Like 1080-60 on the Blackmagic is pretty much 1080-60 on the Magewell. And I didn't know if the sync issue was the Blackmagic design. So, and JP always, like, takes care of me with goodies after a show, right? So I'm like, hey, man, I want to try a new capture card. So he buys me a Magewell and for home, because, again, I wanted to try and see. And zero sync, right? The minute I set it up at home, I fire out my first stream and I'm talking to Chad. I'm like, hey, folks, how's my sync? Everything good? And they're like, Scott, you're fine. And I didn't touch a fucking thing. So the Blackmagic card's just old tech, and it would fall in and out of sync. Now, whether that's just a TriCaster sync thing or anything SDI, I don't know.
Could be anything.
So, right. Yeah, the minute it worked perfectly for me, I called JP and I said, can you just buy one? Because I'm tired. Because I used to have to pull mine out.
Yeah.
Again, trying to save money, all those things. Pulled mine out, bring it to JP's, put it in JP's rig, use it, pull it back out. So I'm like, hey, can you just buy one? We know this works. Can you just buy one, leave it in your rig? And he did. And again, so now the sync test is a meme, right? And I even found a video at home to make sure, you know, which you guys saw if you watched the pre-show.
Yeah.
So yeah, and just that card was probably, because again, it's just been, it always worked. I always bought the same card. It's probably 5-6 years old, at least.
I'm trying to think.
6 years old.
It's whenever you got that TriCaster.
Yeah. So we solved that, and now that just sits here. It's one less thing I bring. You know, you bought two really nice road cases, nice Pelicans for me, because it's two units. It's a TriCaster, which is basically a two U server rack unit. If you've ever seen a server, it's long and thin, right?
Yeah. Weighs like 30 pounds.
The TriCaster weighs 20 pounds, and then the control surface weighs about 15 pounds. And then there's a control surface that is basically a hardware input, it's all the buttons and everything, right?
Big keyboard.
Yeah, it's a big keyboard, right, that's programmed to do all the TriCaster stuff, right? The old one used to be about this big, and the new one I have is about this big, right? Thank God. Because this TriCaster has basically less hard inputs and less capture cards inside it, which, because I don't need 8. So he bought me a nice set of Pelicans, so we can, again, all I got to do is unplug the shit from home, jack it in the Pelican cases, throw a couple cables and keyboard and mice in there, travel, flew with it on the plane. He has to pay an overage on one of the pieces of equipment, but the other one flies like regular if you were checking luggage. And again, saves a shitload. We'll just say a shitload of money on a rental of a TriCaster, sense. Which, again,
a good portion of the actual rental is that TriCaster.
They're not cheap. Not cheap to buy, and certainly not cheap to rent. So again, it allows you to take that income, you know, of the Patreon for the shows and do other shit with it. Which is great. So the sync went away. Again, having the TriCaster here and be able to, you know, again, I'll take it home and it'll just sit there till next time. And when Daniel sends me graphics, it's really easy.
I wonder how long it'll, or how much time that's going to, like, chop off. I guess we'll just have to see when you come next show, but I feel like it's just going to be monumental.
Oh, huge. In between, you know, because I have
and also stress just coming in.
Yeah.
Gone.
Because all I then have to worry about is I arrive on that Wednesday, I start setting all the, but usually the day I get here, I unload everything out of the rental company. I might not wire everything in, but I set it all up to make sure we're not missing anything. So if they did screw something up in an order, yeah. I have that Thursday because they're out of Austin, right? So then they can courier me if they forgot something. So far, these guys are great. Omega out of Austin has been phenomenal.
Oh, yeah, they've killed it every
yeah.
time.
In the first couple rentals, we did have a few issues. Like, hey, I ordered this, and like they would courier that day to us, right? So now like I will roll in with even a more complete show. And again, graphics will – again, depending on the next show, depending on when you do it, like he died a couple times, so I could get a good chunk of the graphics, but everything to relate to JP's character got done last minute because he built that character last minute, right? In the sense of like Daniel didn't have weeks to make all the animations for JP's. He had everybody else's stuff done. So yeah, and again, now that I've used it once and I know exactly how I want to run a show, when I roll in here, like the TriCaster shit will be, I'll plug it in, make sure it fucking works. But like the audio is set, the compressor, limiter, all that wacky stuff is done. And then it's just worrying about the rental gear again and helping Aaron, you know, figure out lights and how we aim stuff and for the set.
I think the more we do this too, we haven't talked about it too much, but I think managing like stress across the entire week for these shows is probably more important than getting any of this like technical stuff correct. So the more stuff that we can get out of the way and not make it a stress factor, the better. That's not to say we're just running around with our fucking heads cut off.
I wish.
Yeah.
No, I don't wish that. Yeah, I thought you were going to say the opposite. Like, sitting around lollygagging.
Yeah.
No, again, I think everyone gets a little... I can't speak for Erin on this one because obviously she had TwitchCon in her head.
Yeah.
But for me, even though it was shorter days, I didn't necessarily feel any less stress. I mean, they were long days, but every time I come here, I spend long days. It's just the nature of it, right?
Usually first one in, last one out.
Yeah. But it wasn't like, oh, fuck. I mean, I've had a few where that Friday and even that Saturday morning, like that Friday night when I'm not ready for a test and the test is going to be fucked up, or that Saturday, yesterday, I'm still programming cameras and shit. And, you know, yesterday was super smooth, you know.
We're getting to the point now where, you know, we do those tests and it's like, well, everything went right. I guess we'll see if it messes up tomorrow. And now we're like, well, everything went right. I guess we're good.
Yeah, that always scares me when we have a good rehearsal and a good test and a good load-in. But, yeah, yesterday went on a production side went really, really smooth. You know, I always – it's just like in esports when you're doing production or anything, right? I always just keep an eye on chat. And if they're not talking about production other than like, oh set's lit as fuck, like a lot of good set – I mean, people would roll in for the first time and go, what the fuck am I watching? This set is fucking crazy. Obviously, your roleplay fans are aware of this progression. Like, you had brand new fans coming in going, what the fuck is this, right?
I think it's time. You talked about making a video showing the progression. I think it's time
for that.
That
would be funny as shit, yeah. And so, what was I saying? I didn't have that stress. Like, I felt, again, long days, but nice and comfortable in the sense of, like, workload, right? Like, and again, yesterday, I think I hit a button wrong twice and, like, showed the time. But that was it. Like, and so for me, that's good, right? And so the point I was making is, like, when you see chat talking about what you're all doing or the experience of what they're watching and they're not
– harping
because
those
first couple shows, Scott, I can hear Jesse, Scott, keep doing – like, because I have your chat trained to highlight me for tech shit, right?
Sure.
So that's what I'm watching, right? And, like – once about the first hour is done and I've got kind of everyone where they're supposed to be audio-wise, obviously after a break someone might need to be adjusted a little bit. Like when I just see chat flowing talking about what Adam's talking about or they're like, no, don't go into the fucking woods, don't go to the fucking woods. I'm like, all right, this is good because they're not talking to me, right? They're not giving me – and every so – like I'll just – every hour I'll go, hey, folks, audio and video okay? And again, I think this one – again, every single one we get better and better and better.
Yeah.
Knock on wood.
Yep.
So it's good.
I think it was like the 7th or 8th hour yesterday, and we were coming back from commercial break. You went from title card to us to break screen, and I saw you go fuck.
Yeah.
Like hit the button real quick.
Yeah. And I immediately go to chat. Oops, sorry.
Oh yeah. Then I hear the. I was like, yep, there it is.
Like,
there
oops.
It is.
Yeah.
But like I said, that was the only one I saw, so I don't.
Yeah,
know
I'm still getting used to the buttons are in a slightly different like because I basically put my hand on my Switch and basically that's the main camera, that's these guys, that's you, that's Dice, and I was one over, so the main camera I hit the DDR, which is the digital recorder that runs commercials.
Right.
So I went back to the commercial, I'm like fuck, move my hand over. But yeah. If that's the worst that happened,
totally, yeah.
You can see that.
And people won't even, I'll just clip to where it's not even in the VOD. Didn't happen.
Yeah.
Didn't exist. We can talk about the TV a little bit, but it kind of just worked. Like there wasn't too much.
Yeah.
I mean, we had to run this stuff, which not the hardest thing. It's just no, running
I don't
power.
Think it, I don't think you can see it on camera. By the time everyone was here and people had stuff,
oh, yeah, I guess
mean,
you can't right now.
You know,
it's really
Adam
hard.
Had stuff. They're just three cables come out of it. I mean, yeah. Your dad cut a nice hole here. No, the TV worked out really, really good. You know, your dad, again, to echo what Aaron said, like, he built this built-in part is not part of the table. If you tune into the last show when we had no TV, this table's got an indent, nice felt underneath it for rolling or putting, you know, miniatures and all that stuff. So JP bought a nice flat-screen TV. And then his dad, literally, much like he built the picture frame that went around the old TV, he built an inset that literally fits almost perfectly.
Perfect. Yeah.
And again, your dad doesn't have, like, Tim the Tool Man's, like, workshop
with tools
with all the best tools either, right?
The tools we use for this we actually bought when we bought the wood.
Yeah, so, again, like, it's beautiful. And then he came over the other night, and we tweaked it. And like you said, you had to lower some stuff. And then my one fear was that it was going to get too hot.
We never even tested that.
I did last night, yeah.
Oh, you did?
I lifted it up when you were all done and reached in here. No heat whatsoever.
That's awesome.
So, because it's really pretty much enclosed in this table. There's no
this
vents
is,
underneath it.
This is the only
hole. And then there are gaps here between the Velcro, but and heat does rise, but like it just new technology doesn't get as old technology. So it didn't get hot. And it worked great. I know there's challenges with the Roll 20 app, and this is a multi-touch screen, meaning that I could touch it, he could touch it, we could all touch it at once.
Yeah.
But Roll 20 still is developed their tablet app, as in like you're using a finger on a
sure.
tablet, so it's kind of a one person thing. But did it really detract that much? No. End of the day, I think
we got pretty good.
Yeah, I think between Adam and you guys figuring out what might be a better way to feed this, so it's easier on Adam to control his monsters and stuff like that, because he had to keep going back and forth, and that's just a matter of now we've done it, we saw how it works. But production-wise, it worked really, really easy because, again, I just the surface that captured this sat over there, and I did take the – I had the map full screen in there. I think I showed it twice.
Oh, yeah.
Because it just didn't – it wasn't that necessary for
anytime one. Anytime I would look over, it was – you were doing a close zoom in. I think that looked
best.
I
did that more.
Because our hands were on it,
yeah.
And we were manipulating and all that stuff. And
I think I showed it like a couple times. Adam brought the monster up nice and big, and then those few times I took the computer full screen.
And that
screen.
Looked cool. I knew he could do that, but I didn't think about the fact that if he did that here,
he brought the Hydralisk up or whatever it was.
Yeah.
It was kind of neat. But then once I used it a few more times the last time we did the because I thought it was really neat. But that was also because that camera hitting your old plasma didn't look as good. Right, it was washier. It just didn't look as good, and this one just looked better. Better TV.
It just might be. There's also
and this has like
it's got like a glass
non glare and all that stuff on
right,
it.
Right, so, and it's got like a half inch of glass, which serves as the touch.
Yeah,
before it hits the LCD.
Yeah, and the blacks show better and everything. So I did it a couple times, but then of course if I show it the true computer image of this, you lose you guys in the corner. And then Adam spent a lot of time talking about the map, and of
pointing,
course, you wouldn't see his hands. So, I only showed it a couple times. But again, the cool thing about it is these TriCaster does everything over the internet. So I just installed a piece of software on that surface. The TriCaster sees it.
Picked
I could
it
capture
up.
It if I wanted to.
Yeah.
It wasn't like I had to wire it or anything. So the only thing that we talked about that we didn't do, and I don't know Adam did it, but I don't know if we'll fix it, was since I don't have control of this TV, I can't really put anything on it. Production-wise, right? That was...
And that was a happy accident because you mentioned the Court of Swords logo that we have. That's where you're going with it. We have just kind of a... I guess you can call it like a stock page. When there's nothing being shown, we go to that Court of Swords stuff when we do our internet shows. And that's kind of where it sits.
And it works.
Just in the show.
It's like a map, but it's not a map, right?
And so when I saw you kind of frame the shots before, I had him add... Because those come in like squares of whatever units it is. But it's basically a 4x3. I said, hey, add like another one of those so it's closer to 16x9. We'll try to zoom in and center. And it worked.
It worked great.
It looked
you
cool.
Know, so I don't – because you often go, okay, that would be neat, but how often are you going to feed something else there? Is it worth the hassle? Is it worth the effort? And I don't think we lost anything because, again, when we did that, I put the logo there myself. I think I put my face on there a few times to mess with you guys.
Yeah.
But is that really necessary? No. If you can have a logo there when you're not doing a map, it doesn't matter if I put the logo there or Adam puts the logo there, Roll 20 does or everything. So that might just be something we don't need to worry about in the future.
But
it worked really, really well.
Yeah, I think services worked well. My fear of kind of people getting – And I think your fear of people getting lost in the surface, so to speak, was fine. Max definitely was using it more than other people, but it was really, he was using it almost like a controller.
Yeah.
Where, like, he would, using the measurement tool, he would look out here and then use it to kind of see for his own character where he could go rather than staying like this.
Yeah, and it's kind of the
opposite. That was cool.
And you guys did the opposite, so it's a good, interesting dynamic to figure out what we want to do. Like, you never did that. You would always say, Adam, can you tell me how far it is? And then Adam would do it. So then the question is, should Adam do that, or should Max do that, right? Because you're and I gave this big speech at the start. I'm like, hey, man, like, you got these surfaces. This is great. This is what they're supposed to be used for. I don't want you watching Twitch chat. I don't think you should be on social media.
Yeah.
Like, because what happens when we all live in this technology age, right? Like, and everyone gets buried, right?
Yeah.
And Max using it for what he was in. Obviously, you guys can look up your spells and all that shit. I think that's awesome. And it technically keeps the table cleaner.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have a 16, you know, a 9.5 or 8.5 by 11 laminated character sheet anyway with dry erase markers everywhere. So I think using – it's this nice blend of new tech and you're sitting around playing an old tech game.
Totally, yeah.
Right? And again, I like – we had lots of debates.
Do you like
over,
the big dice?
No. I do. I like the big dice. I don't like them, I guess, in this small –
yeah.
I don't know if we need them.
There's got to be, like I was talking with Aaron, I think there's got to be a happy medium between, you know, this die and this die.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we need to find.
Fucking monstrous.
Yeah, and I think, again, with the black on white, this camera picks up pretty good, even if I didn't zoom in. Of course, I was dramatically zooming in on ones and 20s, but even on the regular rolls, people would see it. No one ever said, Scott, I can't read those dice.
That's good.
Right? Because I even asked. Like when we hour two, when I did a first, I would call them the Doom Zooms, right? When I zoom in on the one or whatever, when the StarCraft days.
You get your graphics that says Doom.
Yeah.
Doom.
And I even, halfway through, you know, that first hour, I was like, hey guys, question. Should I zoom in on each tray so you see them all, or should I do it for a dramatic effect when it's a 20 or a 1? And they were all unanimously like, nope, we can see them all just fine. Zoom in for dramatic effect, right?
Yeah.
So obviously they could see these. So maybe we don't need this one. Or like you said, if you could find a medium
there's
size.
There's got to be one, yeah. I think one thing that I didn't like was with these gold ones, they looked off-white and not gold, and so it looked like it was a color issue on the camera and not the fact that these were gold. And so next time, all white and black.
Yeah, all white
or
and black.
Or black and white, whatever.
I liked the trays are a nice size, and of course the way we frame them, because it used to always be, I'd have to tell these guys, okay, when your turn to roll, I need you to put
they
it.
They never move.
I need you to put it right here, because that's where the camera's angled for the zoom in.
For eight hours.
And again,
they were perfect.
These were good enough that they weren't in anyone's way, so they didn't have to move them out of the way because of their other shit, and they just, no one had to reach. It worked out perfectly.
I was surprised after 8 hours that these never moved from
never
their
moved.
Spot.
Never moved, you know.
And for framing for you, like, now there's no framing. You hit your set, and it goes there.
Yeah.
And then you go back, and
yeah, because, again, these were all presets. I basically had four presets. The main one, the three, and then the zoom in on the TV. And that was it. And, yeah, it worked really, really well. So yeah, I like the mix of the new tech that we're doing.
Old with the new.
And of course some games you don't use Roll 20, right? Or you know, you don't need it the same way.
Yeah.
But for this campaign, for this game, it made perfect sense. And again, like back to what you were saying, even Max using it never disengaged, right?
Yeah.
And that was my first fear, like, oh God, they're all going to be watching Chad and then talking to Chad and making jokes about Chad. And no one did. Adam checks in at break, right? And we talk to Chad during the break stuff. But that's totally different than, like, because again, we all, like.
It's a different window. You just go over,
I mean, so I think, it worked out really, really. And yeah, shout outs to Microsoft for hooking you up with those.
Totally.
That was nice of them. Worked out really well.
I think one of the other things, too, it kind of became an internal meme, but don't strip in your mic.
Don't strip in your mic.
Was a constant turn
today.
Sorry,
Sam.
Shout out to Gassy for being sick. I don't think he missed a single sneeze
or
anything.
Really good about muting.
Yeah,
you know?
It was really good.
And the first time he did it, like, chat was like, Jesus Christ, Scott, how did
Scott's
you?
A magician.
They thought I was muting him, and I'm like, I didn't know. Like, I can't.
Yeah.
He's about to cough. Like, there's no fucking way. I'm one guy with a bunch of buttons in front of me. But the cool thing about, because sometimes microphones, when you mute them versus when audio mutes them, they click or they go, these don't, right? Like, I can do that, right? Like, I mute myself.
Yeah.
So, again, he was really good. He'd mute himself and then turn it back on. Now, again, we would hear him cough because the other mics are live. But yeah, he did great. And again, the mics in general are just awesome.
I think this is the third show we've done with these mics.
Yeah, I think so.
The second show for me, because I wasn't on Nebula Jazz.
Yeah, I think third show.
Even myself, like, having that, now that I know how to manipulate that with ease and I'm not worried that it's going to click or anything like that, I was constantly just, you know, muting, touch my hair, adjusting this stuff constantly, and it wasn't a bother.
Yeah, it works out. Again, these mics are probably one of the best investment, maybe the single best production investment you've made in the show, because a lot of that stuff's rental, right? Other than this, I mean, yeah. And if I got, of course, part of the evolution of what we've done is, like, I didn't go to school for any of this, right? Like, I'm not an audio engineer, I'm not a video engineer, I'm not a lighting tech.
None of
us
are.
So it's always hit or miss with me. It's always like, okay, that looks a little better. Oh, that sounds a little better. Oh, now if an audio guy sat down at my board, he would program these guys perfectly, very quickly, and me not so much, right? So again, every single time I think we get a little better. Ken got a little breathy towards the end, but I think he was getting tired and like so.
Oh yeah,
because again they're very sensitive too because they're this close. So like a real heavy sigh comes through, right?
Yeah, I think was that in the post show, right?
Yeah, and, yeah, it's a couple of like,
yeah.
Okay, I can hear that. I can't take the gain away when that goes away.
Yeah,
but again,
yeah.
That's happens, right?
Is.
Yeah, it's just how it is.
Yeah,
and so yeah, I think it. Yeah, the mics are good, and yeah, everything's. And of course, every time I do it, I take photos of the board before I leave. So next time, I kind of start with that as the gauge. And everyone's different, so everyone's gain needs to be slightly different.
Right.
But yeah, the way these things are infinitely adjustable to a little head like Aaron and Dodger to a big guy like you and Ken, you know,
Jesse.
These things are freaking amazing. So
yeah. Really good. I guess anything else new that we kind of brought into this? Did we talk about table? Talked about.
Graphics we said slightly differently, you know. Nothing major. Like Daniel used to do these really nice skyscrapers, is what I call them, because they take up like one third of the screen. So you know, I frame it on JP. I slide in his skyscraper, and it's his character information, and it's all that text about him. You know, he was born in the mountain. Blah 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 blah. And Daniel spends a lot of time animating these, making these, and I never could find a good place to consistently use them, right? So I'd show them at the beginning of the show, and I'd have a really hard time going back to it, right?
Yeah.
So this time I'm like, why don't you take that generic player info about your character? Why don't we bury that on the waiting screens? Because you got 5 minutes in between, and you got the 15-minute countdown before we start, and rotate, you know, everything about JP. Then rotate everything about JP's character for everybody, right? And then everybody can get caught up
because they
got nothing else to do.
Yeah.
So they can at least read it, right? And then what I need is stats, right? And people want to see those stats. So give me a lower third that gives JP's basic information, you know, and then give me a lower third and attach it somehow graphically, however you're making. I said my conversation with Daniel, like, I don't know what you're doing with it, but I want it to be look like it's attached. I would never use it alone, but it's going to slide underneath the other one, right? So if you watch, like I would bring up JP's generic animated lower third, if you will, that had who he was and his social media and then a little bit about your character. And then I would slide out the stats for his character, right? The static ones, his strength, his charisma, his AC, his HP, and all that. And then slide it back in, then slide the whole thing away. I thought that looked really sexy, you know?
Yeah.
Had some issues with some information being wrong, on the fly I can't correct. You know, like her classes wasn't a tiefling. That's a race.
Right.
That's a race.
Right.
Stuff like that. And of course, I can't fix that on the fly. Otherwise, I would, and it would happen once. But I liked that, and so I was able to use those graphics like literally every hour. It's because like production is creative, but then production follows a logical path of a run of show.
Set up, yeah.
You know, so the show opens right. That whether it's the first hour or the very first, you know, opening. Lower third who Adam is. Lower third those two. Lower third these two. Then whoever starts talking first about their character, tight shot on them, give you all the stats. Do that for all four people. Continue the hour, right? And then maybe a few of the double lower thirds throughout that hour so you see who it is again. And re-rack that at the start of every hour. If you're just tuning in, you know a little about JP again, right? Obviously, chat's really good about telling everything about your characters too.
Yeah, there's commands
to a new person, yeah. So that was cool, you know. And we have talked about in the future, you know, do we database that those stats? So if they change on the fly and roll 20 or whatever you're doing, my stuff is not a snapshot, but it's accurate to like
Well, it's dynamic.
It's dynamic. Like, during your fight, if I would have brought up when you were almost dying and your HP was going down, would that be cooler? But again, you were all talking about it, so they all knew how close you were to death.
Right. Yeah, I think there's a give and pull there in terms of, you know, what do you want to present graphically and what do you want to just say and what needs to be presented graphically and what needs to just be said.
Yeah.
And I think graphics, too, we've kind of skirted by in terms of just... We have what we need. It's not flashy for the most part, and it works.
Yeah.
And so I'd like to kind of push that forward, but I feel like if we push that forward, it's going to have to be like the same graphics every show with just different looks to them and not necessarily like different shapes or how we bring it in. And I don't know if we're at that point yet where we have everything we want exactly how we want it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because once we get to that point,
it's always getting tweaked, you know.
Once we get to that point, then we can like do crazy animations. But you can't go too far because if you do a super crazy animation where it fucking flies around the screen, it just detracts from the show.
Yeah, and Daniel definitely took a step in a different direction on these animations because normally he'll take whatever the theme is, whatever the idea of the show campaign is, and you obviously have graphics that you use every week that he matches, and then he'll animate it for me, and usually it's some sort of glow or a gear turning or something. He gives me a little bit of animation. This one, since it was a clothy
wavy
kind of thing, the whole lower third waved, and when I first saw it, I was like, ooh, I don't know.
Well, especially for the stats at the bottom.
Yeah. And again, keeping an eye on chat, no one's like, oh, that's hard to read. It's confusing. Like, it's fine. It worked, right?
Yeah.
And again, that's his creative. That's his world, right? So I often don't get – I was just concerned of how I was – because the stat one that I have to manipulate can't be animated because I have to lay some shit on top of it. Because I was – at one point, I was going to track their HP, and then we decided, no, let's just make that kind of the max HP for their character.
Yeah.
And if they leveled or whatever, I would change it. But that was an editable field for me, and as soon as I do that, that image is much easier for me to manipulate below it if it's a PNG versus an animated buffer graphic, right?
Yeah.
So that one didn't move. So you got one that's wavy, and then the one that comes out with ropes that isn't wavy. I think it looked fine. It was cool.
Yeah, I haven't gotten a chance.
And I don't think any. I thought it was kind of neat. And again, he had two little ropes that made it attach, which again matched everything else. Like Daniel's really good about keeping the theme all consistent.
Yeah.
I
think like graphic package wise, for me, Nebula Jazz just looked cooler.
Mm, yeah,
but I think it's much easier to do cool looking space stuff than it is to do cool looking primeval stuff that doesn't have like. One thing that he did do in the graphics is he adhered to the rules of the world. So the logo for Court of Swords, whereas in the online show that we do, the main show, it's gold. And this one, it was kind of like a rustic, like kind of beat up, cast iron thing,
cloth behind it,
and there's also chains that connect on the main show. And this one, it was cloth or like wool ropes or something like that. Yeah, so he adhered to kind of Adam's rules of the world, which was cool.
And then
was,
you wonder if like I didn't notice that.
Yeah,
I didn't notice like that. It's a slightly different logo, but I didn't put the full connection as to why.
Yeah, yeah, cool. And I think that was
Cool.
It was a conversation they had, and so with that in mind. Those graphics make a little bit more sense, but when you're first seeing it, you're kind of, that seems a little bit odd, but...
Yeah, and it does make sense, because if Daniel... Now the wave makes perfect sense, because if in Daniel's mind, he can't do anything glowy or flashy or future techie, even on a graphic, then making a cloth wave is kind of the way to animate it for Scott, that gives it... Because you like to have a little sexiness there, right?
Right.
But yeah, he couldn't do some weird glow or something crazy, because that doesn't exist, right, in that sense. So yeah, again, but I liked that's what I want to do in the future, a nice lower third and then a slide out specific lower third to that character info, right?
Now, if you nest it
in a different way.
If you did something for like Nebula Jazz, you could have like a cross diagonal or something that have like little rivets that kind of go in and you can get real fancy with that type of stuff. But yeah, with this it was basic, it was primeval. Primordial rather, not primeval. I don't know. I think that's kind of it for recapping the show. Any like big technical issues on your side that you were worried about that didn't end up being a thing, or you weren't worried about?
Not at all. I mean, again, I think no. I mean, literally everything was pretty freaking smooth. I mean, we had nothing major. Like when I got here, I hadn't ever had to have three outputs out of my TriCaster, so like you had to buy me a cable to feed this TV.
That always happens, yeah.
Because that, I was thinking.
thank the Christ old TriCaster. For Amazon Prime yeah. next day.
Because the old TriCaster, my old one, and even the old one that we used to rent, had an HDMI out to feed a monitor like that. The new TriCaster has the exact same output, but it's DisplayPort, right? It's meant for the same thing. It gives you a third out, but it's DisplayPort. So I was like, oh, fuck. And I just didn't notice until I got here. I'm like, oh, shit. So got us a nice little adapter. You bought me a cord, actually. So now we've got – that's built. That'll just stay here. That feeds our Confidence TV. And then, of course, once the Surface showed up, that was mini DisplayPort. And so to feed this TV, you know, you had to go buy an adapter that went mini DisplayPort to HDMI because we have long HDMI to feed the TV. But that's mine.
Basic stuff.
Yeah. And yeah, other than that, no. And we bumped up to 1080 60. We always were in the show side.
Did anyone mention that? Was anyone chat like, oh, this is 1080 60? Because I could definitely notice it when I'm looking at the VODs. But
no,
I didn't
notice anyone. I asked a few times. Well, I asked during the actual test. I didn't ask yesterday. Like, hey, can you guys all check? You know, you can check the stats. Just make sure you're all getting 1080 60 at about $6,000. And they were.
Okay.
No one. It's one of those things, man. If people are enjoying, like,
you're not gonna,
they're more apt to be critical than like, oh my god, this is now 1080 60.
Yeah.
And especially, it's much harder to tell even at home once you get stepped on by Twitch and an encoder than video game footage.
Sure.
Right? Because it's just talking heads. So maybe a lot of people might not even notice, right?
We'll see in the YouTube comments if anyone notices, because it'll obviously have like the option for 1080 60.
4K next.
Yeah, man.
That's a different camera rental.
That's actually one thing we were kind of talking about. Is these cameras don't necessarily have a lens in the sense of like a big production studio camera. And I think that leads to, we call it dithering. There's probably
it's a combination of probably me not knowing exactly how to shape cameras, as they call it, like in the sense of like the color tones and the white balance and all that. Like, I am not an expert at that, so every time I think I get the cameras looking a little better.
We tweak the lights right afterwards.
Yeah, we tweak the lights and stuff. And again, they're getting a variety of different light temperatures thrown at them, right? They're not all 55 like his lights. These are different.
We've got 55. We've got like normal.
These are like disco, like DJ lights that will add to the mix. So again, I think every show we get the cameras a little better. But again, these are their main claim to fame is they're good cameras, but they're pan, tilt, and zoom cameras, right? For
the
control, right? Yeah. They're robotic. So they're not super, like, again, if you look at a really nice TV camera or, you know, a big camera you put on your shoulder, that's a lot of processing power in that, plus a big-ass lens. These are a little lens and a little bit of processing, right? They're great for what they do. Like, I would not want nicer cameras and lose the control of presets and moving them on the fly. Because, again, if we had camera operators standing near them, that would be a different story, right?
Totally. But that's three people we got to bring in.
Yeah, you know, and again, so yeah, they don't take low light the greatest. And again, there probably could be a camera tech who could roll in here and open up the settings for that thing and go, hang on. Doot, 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 doot.
I wonder
doot,
if...
Doot, 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 doot.
Do you think Omega like has a camera tech or anything like that that'll come down? I mean, it'd save you some time if we had them roll in Friday when we're set.
Yeah, they wouldn't be cheap. I think we're okay. I think we're fine.
We're not putting out anything bad.
And part of it is, again, to the point we talked about earlier, is I can flood this side with light, but that still doesn't necessarily give them all they need because they're not getting any light. Like, all these lights are kind of behind. Sometimes you want light to get coming this way too.
Yeah.
And again, the more light they grab, the less of that gainy, grainy look, more goes away, right?
Yep.
I wouldn't trade, you know, a $20,000 camera on sticks for these bad boys if I couldn't control them, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
And I know they're making,
some
and they might already have the new version out that was also going to be NDI, which means you can take a signal over the network, so you'd have less cables to run. And I imagine when that new camera also has better lenses in them and everything, because these are old cameras.
That'd be kind of fun to run.
They've been around for a while, so it's not like these things get firmware updates that make them better.
So if it was NDI, those would only have one power cable coming out of the back of them?
Yes. Because they would NDI for the control of them, and they would NDI for the video signal. And then actually, I think the Panasonics will even have power over Ethernet if you wanted to.
Really?
Yeah, it's crazy. Jesus. You have to have the right adapters to do all that on the other side.
Yeah.
I have one of New Tech makes one now, a much smaller, not so expensive version, and even it does like power over. And I'm not using it that way, but you can do PoE, as they say.
Yeah, and that stuff's a little finicky.
And again, I don't. We also rent, right?
So
rental gear is usually a couple generations behind latest
and greatest.
Latest gear, because again, they need it to be rock steady. You've got a client that wants to rent exactly that camera. Because I even asked the Omega guys, hey, you got one of those new before I got my TriCaster, you got that new TriCaster yet? And like, no, we always wait on that kind of stuff because it's got to get beat on for a while to make sure it all works. They can't tech support for Panasonic when they rent me that camera. It's got to be bulletproof, right? Maybe in a year or so, those will be rentable, the newer Panasonics, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see, because also, in a year we'll be in a different state.
Like you said, you might even get to the point where, you figure out how to buy it all, and then it just sits, right? But, of course, that's a big investment,
It's a big investment for 4 or 5 shows a year.
Yeah, exactly. So
we'll see. That's all kind of future stuff that we don't have to worry about necessarily. But, I think that's good. I can keep talking if you want to go in the show.
Yeah, I will do that.
And mute.
Thanks, folks. Thanks for watching. Thanks for supporting.
Thanks again for all the support. Shout out to go watch the video we did with Aaron. There's also a time lapse video that's about 5 or 6 minutes long. If you want to watch that, of kind of the set being built, that even has our faults in it, where we try to wrap it and realize that's gonna not work. So you can see what we were talking about in real time. But that's it. We'll have some more details probably sometime in November of when the next show's gonna be, who's gonna be on, and all that stuff. But for now, we're out. This is it. Core Swords is done. We'll see you for the next one. Bye-bye.